Let's read Bible together today. Today's title is Being the Same. Bible part is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Let's read. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household. As we have seen over the past week, the Bible points out that no one is fundamentally at peace with any other human being, and that because of this discord among human beings, the order of all creation has been broken. God does not regard this lack of harmony among human beings as a perfectly natural state of affairs in accordance with the natural law of survival of the fittest, which was invented by the human beings, but rather as unnatural, a complete departure from the state of joyful and eternal peace with God created. He also revealed the fact that God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth as a sacrifice in order to reform man, who was first and foremost the root cause of discord among all things, in order to lead all things to the state of harmony and peace, which was the original order of things. No one can envision or imagine it. If one hears of God's salvation, the ultimate goal of which is peace in Christ, no one can take the seriousness of it. If we can be thankful for God's work of salvation, it is also the work of God the Holy Spirit. We cannot boast or say that we have fulfilled even 0.1 millimeter of the conditions. Paul has so far carefully detailed that it is all God's grace. In other words, because of the cross of Jesus Christ, who, in order to make peace, broke down all kinds of human barriers and hostility that we human beings could never break down or destroy by our own strength, as in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. The reason why Paul had to come to this conclusion was because he felt that people were still emphasizing the difference between Israelites and Gentiles, and that the tremendous grace of being the same and made the same in Christ was not being received as an inspiration not only by the members of Ephesian church, but also by us. It was because we felt that not only the congregation of the Ephesian church, but also we are not being moved. Instead of being told, "This is why you are no longer strangers," and so Gentiles, but are people of the same nation and family of God as the saints, he was told, "This is why you will live a special life, clearly different from theirs, because you will receive such blessings and such gifts. You will be able to do things much better than those people. You will see the difference clearly. It is much more gratifying to be proclaimed to be different from others. Ultimately, the greatest joy for man is peace. But as we have seen over the past week, peace is not something we can create, but something God does through Christ. And the only way to enjoy the joy of peace is to be in Christ. And to enjoy peace in Christ means to be made the same, as the word of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19 say. It is peace to be the same as in the same people, the same saints, the same family of God. However, as born sinners, we are inherently uncomfortable and annoyed with the idea of being the same because of sense of inferiority due to sin that lives inside of us. As a result, we have naturally developed the habit of pushing up walls of separation by making comparisons and looking for or creating things that make us superior. But when we are brought into the peace that is in Christ and know that true peace, we rejoice more in being the same than in our differences, and we are most moved by being the same in God. The Apostle Paul speaks of this excitement to all of us readers, including the congregation of Church of Ephesus, and yet the same habit of not wanting to be the same still persists in us. And because we have come to believe that the same means one, but we want to difference to be clearer than being one, and we want to express our value by making difference obvious. Paul, once again, with conjunction that implies the conclusion, this is why summarized the inspiring fact of being the same, being made the same, which we have been talking about in verse 19. We are the people of the same kingdom, the same family of God. Paul has spoken of how no one can stand tall because God, without being guilty, without being offended, that everyone is sinner just the same, and that we are all sinners who can only have peace with God through the blood of Jesus Christ, not the 9.9% but the 100%. We have been talking about how we are all sinners. And yet we are so focused on being different and differentiating ourselves from others, rather than on and that we seek only benefit beliefs that we can use to put up walls that we assume others will not have. We don't want to be the same. We don't want to be the same, so we naturally want to create our own feel superior by doing things according to the standards we have created. When will this sense of superiority be torn down and being the same will become irrepressible pressings, a blessing, a joy, and an inspiration. When we experience and know in God guidance how painful it is not be the same, we learn to be thankful for being the same. Know that peace of being the same in Christ is a joy and inspiration that cannot be replaced by anything else. From the beginning, the Bible speaks of struggle and conflict in which it is unbearable for all human beings to be the same. It also tells us that this conflict is the essence of all problems. Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, was supposed to be one and the same, but they broke their oneness and fought. But since they were the only two human beings on earth, they were able to stay out of the conflict to the point of killing the other. However, when it came to their sons, they could not control their urge to kill. An eldest son killed the second son. The motive for the mother was that he did not like the fact that he was equal to his younger brother. From then on, the history of mankind has been long and tedious process of making weapon, taking weapon in hand, inventing, developing, creating the latest weapons, thinking only of how to efficiently sacrifice people and reign spring over them by using their victims as stepping stones, all the while calling themselves as civilization. They have given themselves all kinds of weapons with cool names like sword, shield, guns, missiles, so on. We have been talking about the reason the Bible was written. It's because of conflict and confrontation, the typical conflict and confrontation between God-fearing people. In the Bible would be the conflict between Jacob and Esau. Genesis chapter 25, verse 21 through 34. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife. Because she was childless, the Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The baby jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the other will serve the younger." When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heels. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents. Isaac, who had taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebecca loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was cooking the same stew, Esau came in front the open country famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." Jacob replied, "First sell me the birthright. Look, I am about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. The conflict and confrontation between brother Jacob and brother Esau, who were twins, began when they were in their mother Rebecca's womb. On the other hand, his wife Rebecca loved Jacob, an indoor man who was not a wild man. The family of Isaac, Rebecca, Esau, Jacob, was a family of four that exceeded our ideal and delusion the parents should not be partial to their children in any way. And above all, we must not forget that all four were Christians who believed in the Lord God, were God's chosen people, and were the royal family of Heavenly Father from whom the Messiah would be born. Still, it is honest of us human beings to have such sordid family relationship, and I am somewhat encouraged by the fact that this is how it is even in Heavenly Father's royal family. Sorry. Eventually, the two brothers grow up, and the younger brother, Jacob, takes advantage of the gap between his older brother Esau and his right to be the firstborn son. Furthermore, as we see in chapter 26, and following Jacob with the help of his mother Rebecca, tricked his father Isaac and his brother Esau, and even took away the blessing that his brother Esau was to receive. This act of plundering the right of Jacob's firstborn son may be described in biblical interpretation as an act of faith, but in any case, the act of skillfully plundering what belonged to his brother was a quiet but clear act of violence. A mistake and even wrong act was not seen, but only an act of God's sovereignty and mercy. Therefore, we must not forget that he has just turned it 100% into grace. It does not mean that Jacob did it well. God will teach Jacob, who was forced to become the heir of God's blessing by the act of plundering, that his act was a mistake, and he will guide him through his life so that he will be able to taste it and repent of it. Jacob, who had deceived his brother and taken away his right to be the firstborn son, was threatened by his brother Esau, and unable to stay in his parents' home, he fled in his clothes to his mother Rebekah's brother Laban. He was not fugitive for a year or two, but for 20 years. Even before they were born, the twin brothers' conflicts and rivalries eventually led to the family of four being torn apart. Their uncle Laban, who initially rejoiced that his beloved sister's son had come to visit him, gradually began to treat Jacob like a servant, tricking him into marrying four of his own women, including his two daughters and two servants who served them, which Jacob did not want to do. Jacob was tricked into Bigamous marriage with four of his own women, including his own two daughters and two servants who served them. Here Jacob experienced for the first time the bitterness and pain of being deceived. He realized that he had to leave his wife in spite of such a situation, and because he loved Rachel, Laban's second daughter, he continued to work and obey the deception. After 20 years, he was urged by God to return to his hometown with his four wives, 12 children, and the wealth he had accumulated working as his uncle Laban's servant. God urged him to return to his hometown with his However, what tormented Jacob was the presence of his brother Esau, who had tried to kill him with murderous intent 20 years earlier. Finally, the time came when he had to pay for the deception he had perpetrated against his brother Esau 20 years earlier. But then God meets Jacob. It is that famous wrestling with God at the valley of Jacob. The scene is Genesis chapter 33, verse 1 through 11. Jacob looked up. There was Esau coming with his 400 men. So he divided the children among their Rachel and the two female servants. He put the female servants and their children in front, Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph in the rear. He himself went on ahead and bowed down to the ground seven times as he approached his brother. But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arm around his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Then Esau looked up and saw the woman and children. "Who are these with you?" he asked. Jacob answered, "They are the children God has graciously given your servant." Then the female servant and their children approached and bowed down. Next, Leah and her children came and bowed down. Last of all came Joseph and Rachel, and they too bowed down. Esau asked, "What's the meaning of all these flocks and herds I met?" "To find favor in your eyes, my lord," he said. But Esau said, "I already have plenty, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." "No, please," said Jacob. "If I have found favor in your eyes, accept this gift for me. For to see your face is like seeing the face of God. Now that you have received me favorably, because accept the present that was brought to you. For God has been gracious to me, and I have all I need." And because Jacob insisted, Esau accepted it. And these 20 years were truly a period of preparation of God's work of reconciliation and process of cultivating the soil that would bear the fruit of reconciliation. After receiving the material blessing of having four wives and 12 children and property, Esau was forced to deal with a series of domestic discord among his four wives and he realized in his bones and that God's blessings was not about worldly success, but about being alive for the purpose of God's missionary plan of blessing all nations with spiritual salvation. Esau, on the other hand, was tilled as God's soil, and through his lack of faith in his disregarded for the right of his firstborn son, and through the sorrow and pain of having his family torn apart in murderous rage, he grew in love and realized that he was one with God, that they were of the same family, and that they were the same weak the same way and receive the same grace. They must have realized that they are one in God, the same family of God, the same beings, equally weak, equally graced. This is well expressed in their tearful reunion. Genesis chapter 33, verse 10. Esau said, "For to see your face is like seeing the face of God." These words are not idolatry, that is, worshipping Esau as God, or but Jacob's confession that the reconciliation that is now unfolding before his eyes is not the result of human power, but God's work. We now know that grace of reconciliation given to Jacob and Esau, their joy of being one and the same, was given by the Lord God, and that this grace, emotion, and joy is an important passage of God's work to be given to many people through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, later. Through the book of Ephesians, we can see that Christ is our peace. And Genesis chapter 28, verse 15, I am with you and will watch over you whether you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. God, while cultivating the land of Jacob, made him realize that he was nothing but sinner born with so much conflict and struggle that he was born clutching at the heels of others, and he gave Jacob pain and patience in order to transform the conflict and struggle into grace and into joy, and he himself with his pain and patience. The words are the loving declaration to Jacob that God has accompanied him and will at all costs bring him to the point of fulfilling the peace that is Christ with zeal. Jacob spent a lifetime realizing the deep meaning of these words. He also leads us to a place where we cannot deny the peace and reconciliation can't be established from the humanistic perspective, such as let us get along or let us love peace, but that peace is God's work. There is later story in the Old Testament about reconciliation of Jacob and Esau. The book of Obadiah tells us that Edomites, the descendants of Esau, hated Israelites, descendants of Jacob, and that reconciliation and peace between Jacob and Esau could not be carried on by human power alone. Edom said to the Israelites, "Your ancestor Jacob received our ancestor Esau, so we cannot forgive him." Israel looked down on Edom, saying, "Your daughters who have no right to the firstborn, so go down." Israel looked down on Edom. The record is an example of how human power can never bring peace to fruition and sustain it, and how we hurt each other by showing our difference rather than our sameness. A unique characteristic of gospel as taught by Bible and of Christianity alone is that it says people are fundamentally the same. You cannot say people are the same or make them the same on the basis of blessings, except for the gospel as told by the Bible. Of course, they can be united for the same benefit or in the face of same enemy, but nothing but Christianity and the Christian gospel can make people fundamentally the same, put them in the grace, joy, and excitement of being the same. It is all too easy for peace and peaceful relation to break down. We know this firsthand. People look down on each other, preferring to make their own justification known to the other, rather than to make up for the recognize each other's deficiencies. Therefore, even Christians are always in danger of substituting something else for the peace that is God's purpose and vision. True peace, reconciliation, harmony, oneness, and the sameness are not physical, materialistic, utilitarian profit-oriented or humanistic achievement, but spiritual battle. Spiritual battle. So in order to be peace, reconciliation, harmony, one and the same, we need to learn how to acquire and use spiritual armament and make an effort to invite God to the center of the field of peace and reconciliation. To do this, prayer is natural necessity, and it is essential to get down before the word of Bible, to eat, to be searched, to listen, to be made fresh and bright. Let us pray. Dear God, please remember us. Christ is peace for us. And let us pray together, praise together, listen to the word together, and worship together, and give power to worship you. Please mercy on us. You are the peace. Our Savior Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.